Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, July 8th, 2011, episode 180, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore!
Thank God it's Friday!
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, as we said, it is Freestyle Friday, which means it's Friday, which means it's the weekend, pretty much. For those of us who actually work on Fridays, we slack anyway. And then that just means two more days, Glenn. Two more days till my husband returns home. Yay!
I know. Do you wait at the airport for him to come down a little thing?
Of course I do. Actually, that's usually when he's flying in commercial. This time he will be flying his F-16 home. So he'll be bringing his big toy home. So I will be at the Air Force Base, and we all kind of wait for them to land, and it's really sweet. And so it'll be fun. I'll take pictures.
Okay, cool. That'll be fun. And
yeah.
I know you get to about the end of 2 weeks, and you start to get grumpy without him. So it's good he's coming home.
Oh, mad is the word, okay? We had that big haboob and the storm rolled in, and then we have a pool, and I do not take care of the pool. It is not my job to take care of the pool. It is his job. Well, of course, this haboob rolls in and dumps, a quarter of a ton of sand into our pool. So it was a little cloudy. So I'm about sick of the pool. I'm done with it, and I'm excited to hand it back over to him because that thing is just a big, confusing mess of water that I have nothing to do with, and right about now it looks like a pond. I can't wait for
him
to get back.
Does it have lilies growing on the top and little frogs?
There's frogs, and it's like I put koi fish in it just for fun.
We had a pool at our farm we bought. We had a pool. Came with the pool, and we kept the pool for about 2 years, and then, I got so sick of the pool, I just filled it in. We filled it in. We completely got rid of the pool.
I can't do that. I absolutely love having the pool. I just don't love working on the pool, especially when you do it in the evenings after you've ridden two horses and you've spent the whole day trying to survive in the heat. I'm a little over the pool right now, too. Maybe I should just fill it in. It might be easier. By the time we get home, we'll have no pool. But
well,
it is definitely important.
Let's go to Jennifer here, find out what's coming up, because we have a darn busy day today for Friday.
Yeah.
Usually we just am allowed to lay back, kick our feet up, have a Bloody Mary, but today, no, she hasn't like working.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Edition, we open with
open the show with the worldwide podcasting sensation that is Really Bad Ad. Yay! For the uninitiated, it's the place where sarcastic, perplexing, suspicious ads submitted by our listeners resides, and it's always a good time. Following up, we all get to enjoy Buck Branneman's visit from last week. This time, Jamie will be offering constructive criticism. And keeping with the worldwide sensation theme, Cindy Meal, producer of Buck the Film, is stopping by for a behind-the-scenes look on how this amazing documentary made it to the screen.
Is awesome. She off the train? She off the train. Well, she couldn't make it last week.
That she's not on a train.
Last week, the reason she didn't make it is because she was on a train. So we're hoping she's off the train, and we'll actually get to speak to her this morning. Well, Jamie, it looks, you know, it's so hard. It's going to be kind of difficult because we're doing Really Bad Ads first, and we're not used to that. We're used to having a whole hour to warm up.
I know. It's 6 o'clock here. I'm not ready to be funny. I'm not ready to read out loud, but you know what? We're going to do our best. We will do
all
our
right.
best.
Maybe this will help.
Pay attention.
Today's Really Bad Ads, we have two things for the winner. We have one of the signed, coveted Horse Radio Network hats, and we also have... I completely missed Daily Winnies, didn't I?
Yes. Play you skipped the Daily Winnies. Now we can't go too crazy and get out of the norm. Do you want to do the
totally
Daily Winnies first?
Yeah, let's do that because I just messed up. It's Friday. What do you want? I'm tired, and Jennifer's tired. You're tired. The listeners are tired. Everybody's horses are tired. Everybody's tired. Hey, my Daily Winnie goes out to somebody that's not tired. She's actually looking forward to some fun next weekend. Sammy Sam, Samantha Clark, my old co-host on the 2010 radio show. This is sort of a Sammy Sam shout-out and update. She is taking the kids, and her mom is flying in from England, and they're going to a dude ranch in Montana next week.
Oh, that is
now,
so
picture
cool.
This. Sammy Sam is as English as it gets. She's a little bitty skinny thing. And she's going to, I'm telling you, she's as English as it gets, and she's an inventor through and through, and she's going to a dude ranch to work the cattle. I said, I need pictures. And she promised that one morning from the dude ranch she would call in from her tent in the middle of a back 40. So that would be
So now, I went to a dude ranch in Wyoming and rode Western twice a day for the entire week, but there was no... working cattle, and there was no living in a tent. I stayed in a nice cabin and had three fantastic meals a day. I actually gained weight while on my dude ranch vacation. So are you telling me this is not the kind of dude ranch she's going to? She's actually going to one of those real dude ranches?
I doubt it. I think it's probably more like yours. I don't see Sammy Sam in a tent on the back 40 taking showers in the creek. I just don't picture that.
Yeah. If you want,
how did you go
to
a dude ranch, by the way, and eat three meals a day? All they serve is beef and beans.
Yeah, not the dude ranch I went to. Triangle X Ranch in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. If you want a fun, beautiful scenery horse vacation where you ride really nice horses a couple times a day, you stay in a nice cabin, they have a chef. Definitely Triangle X is the place to go because, my God, it was awesome. However, not the cattle working, you know, and when I was picking dude ranches to go to, Glenn, I started looking around, and I was looking at those, like I wanted to drive cattle, you know, do that kind of thing. And as I was looking around in the pictures of the previous guests that had gone to these cattle moving things, every single picture, they looked exhausted. They looked miserable. They looked tired. And I was like, that's not my... And so I look at the Triangle X photos, and everybody's smiling. Somebody's got a beer. It's just like this awesome time. I was like, that's my place. So definitely I took the other one. So it will be interesting to see what Sam selects as her Dude Ranch experience, because everybody should have one. It's amazing to ride through, you know, the Grand Teton National Park and to go through Yellowstone. So curious to know what hers will be. But I have a Daily Whitney too.
Okay.
And my Daily Whitney goes out to Ann Svensson. She's our listener in Sweden, and or at least one of them. And she sent a message, and girl, I feel ya. She says, good morning, friends. I feel so much for Jamie and the terrible things that happened at her place. She feels like my twin sister. Already, I'm not liking where this is going for your sake. My horsey husband, who I also married last spring, has to participate at a training week at GM. I'm left with a whole year's hay crop still in the field. My coworker, my job goes on vacation on Monday. I need to fill in 9 to 5. I have no idea how this is going to end. Our chickens are fine, but it's usually Peter's chore, her husband. We have 50-plus lovebirds, newly hatched ones, 6 horses, 6 dogs, 2 cats, 3 hens, 1 rooster. Love your show. Please pray it doesn't rain, because the hay has already been cut and it should be dry on Sunday. So I love that she also says he better come home with lots of presents. I'm feeling the same way. I better get something cool. You know, like, I don't want just, you know, a Seattle shot glass from the airport. I want something nice. Bring me something shiny. We'll see how
it
goes.
By the way, lovebirds tend to be chirpy. Can you imagine 50 lovebirds? Oh, the noise level.
I have 2 chickens in my house, Glenn, and they're noisy enough.
Those suckers better be moved out by the time Chad gets home.
Not an option. I actually took a picture of them in the crate in the house and sent it to him. By the way, I have been turning out my chickens as well, because about in the morning time after the show, I feel like they need to stretch their legs and their wings, and so I put them outside for a little bit. They walk around, and then they're ready to come back in, and all I do is go, come on, chicken, chickies, and they come running back over to this French door, and come right in the house. So I've got them trained.
Hey, I just want to, I'm going to do an additional, a impromptu Daily Whitney. I just noticed that Smokey Brannaman has posted that he's listening in this morning. Good morning, Smokey. And yes, to answer your question, Jamie did respond in yesterday's show. You can go back and take a listen to it, to your email that we got, that you sent us. And also get a hold of Jennifer at jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. We'd love to have you on one day next week if you have a morning free. So good morning, Smokey. We appreciate you being here. And
yeah.
I think we really better get to really bad ads, or we're going to run out of time. What do you think?
Well, I was going to respond to Smokey. Yeah, go ahead and tune into yesterday, my friend. Listen to my response to you. Hate and Black Beauty and all craziness.
Pay attention.
And, of course, we do really bad ads every week, and it's become the most popular segment of the show, I dare say. And we take a look at ads that are funny, that are stupid, that are full of misspellings, that don't have any punctuation, or just really bad in so many ways. And this week's winner is going to receive the coveted HRN baseball cap signed by the three of us, and also the book, The Smart Woman's Guide to Midlife Horses, from Melinda Pulse, who we had on the other day. So they'll receive that book as well. And the first one, actually, is one that Jennifer found, and how come I always get the horse manure ones? Is there a trend there? Seems like they're always blue. I'm blue and they're always blue. Funny how that works. It says free horse manure. Now, this takes some gall, and I really want to call the guy to find out if people actually pay for this. Free horse manure if you want to shovel. If you would like bags of it, they will be $2.50 a bag, the size of a 50-pound grain bag. Okay, so the part I'm not getting already is it says free horse manure if you want the shovel. And then it says if you would like bags of it, they will be $2.50 a bag. Does that mean if he's shoveled them?
Yeah, that means he's. I think he's already put the poop in the bags for you.
So
it's like a drive-through manure stand.
Yeah, okay. Like the lemonade stand. So the little two little kids sitting at a table.
Yeah, here you go.
No more lemonade sales.
With samples sitting out on the table so you can try it. Or $25 to shovel a truckload, or price can be negotiated to use the front end loader. That's special. Manure has been aged for better planting. Or fresh, if
like
you mine. Prefer. I like yours. Yours is aged for better planting. So I guess, you know, the way this ad sounds is like it's special if he gets out the front end loader. That's a treat, getting out the front end
loader.
Well,
and they have manure that has been aged like fine wine. So really makes me want to go out and get a glass of wine right now.
Yeah. For lemonade.
Delicious. The next one comes from Carol in Oklahoma, and the message that she posted along with this was, this in the farm and garden section on Craigslist or in the personal ads? I would love to have some riding time on a beginning horse about once a week. I'm an adult who has taken lessons but is still a beginner. I can saddle up, mount, etc., but would like to take it easy in the arena or on an easy trail ride. I cannot afford lessons right now, nor can I afford a horse, but I am good around horses, love grooming, etc., and I'm willing to help you for the riding opportunity. Sounds decent enough, right? Well, then she goes on to list the things that she can do. I can clean/groom. I can tutor your horse.
Your horse?
I can. Well, that'd be even weirder. I can tutor your kids in 12th grade English. Now, what if they have like a 7-year-old? Is she going to sit down and tutor them in 12th grade English? Because that's pretty specific.
Okay. Yeah, if you can tutor in 12th grade English, probably you can tutor in 7th grade English, too, you would think.
I know, but why wouldn't you just say I can tutor your kids in English? It's specifically 12th grade English. I can horse sit. I do bird sitting and small animal sitting in our home, gerbils, guinea pigs, hamsters, and ferrets. I can vacuum your pool, get your mail, water your trees, or wash your cars. I am a 55-year-old woman, so not a slacker teenager at all. And then she caps it off with, I can also do other things. Other is capitalized. I can also do other things. I don't know what that means, but I was almost willing to call. Just to find out if that meant what I thought it meant, but she didn't give the phone number. Darn it.
Did you find this, the adult section, Carol, of the Craigslist ads? Was this in the adult section?
No. I can tutor your kids. I can vacuum your pool. I can get your mail. And I can also do other things.
All right. And she has an issue, too, because the other one that struck me in this is we do bird sitting / small animal sitting in our home. Now, normally when you think small animals, you think little dogs and cats, right? No, she's very specific that she only does rodents, gerbils, guinea pigs, hamsters, and ferrets. Apparently she doesn't do dogs and cats. She does rodents. This is going to be one strange lady. Yeah.
And you know what's funny is I'm actually in the market for a new farm sitter, so maybe
there you go. Tina Lane sent this one in. 10-year-old gelding, $6,000. Registered quarter horse gelding, 16 hands. You can shoot off him. Well, there you go, Tammy. Good trail horse will go through anything. Up to date on all shots. Stands really good for me. And it says farrier in parentheses, so I guess maybe this person's a farrier. Loads in the trailer well. Now, let me read this sentence as it's written. Loads in the trailer well, clips well, bays well, good with kids. You can ride him standing backwards, bareback, upside down, however you want to. Good around other horses. I have shown him in the barrels. He is fast and started on the pattern, but not finished. Overall, nice horse to ride. Reason for selling him? I thought this was Alan at first. But the reason for selling him is going to college. So you can do anything that you want, apparently, on this horse. You can even ride him underneath. So there you go.
Now, when I read this ad, with the very poor spelling and punctuation, I was really glad that he said he was going to college, because you need a little education, my friend, because good God, he loads in trailer well, clips well, bathes well, good with kids. You can ride him standing, backwards, bareback, upside down, however you want to. Yeah, that's a bit of a run-on. So maybe an English class can help you out with that. This one goes to, let's see, which one should I do next? Should I do the three-year-old mare, I guess, from Rachel?
I thought you were going to do duck. Is duck next?
I thought that was our victorious one.
Nope.
No, it wasn't. You're right. Okay,
yep.
I was a little confused. Jeff in California, sorry, apparently I was trying to give you the win. Ducks need home. The parents of these babies are gone. We didn't realize these eggs were fertile and alive. The crazy chicken sat on them, and now they are hatching any day. There are 5 live eggs. We'll see if they all make it.
Did you write this one?
Me?
Well, you have crazy chickens.
I do have crazy chickens, however, I do not have ducks, so this is not me. any that do hatch will need a home. I sold all my chickens and ducks because I have to move. The 2 hens sitting on these eggs aren't even my hens, and they will not be able to keep the ducklings. They are from 2 different moms, 1 white Muscovy and 1 black Muscovy, Miss Pearl and Miss Darling. The father, the Drake, is a blue. His name is Blue. Until they hatch, I will not know which are which. If you can provide these babies with a loving home, please contact me by text, blah, 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 blah. Now, let's break this down a little bit. You've got chickens that are sitting on duck eggs. You're trying to find a home for the ducks that aren't even born yet, and you don't even know if they're all actually going to live.
She's in a hurry to get rid of these ducks.
Well, Miss Darling and Miss Pearl and Blue are going to be highly upset parents if they come out and their chickens are raising their ducks, and the ducks are then placed in homes before they're born. I don't even understand this. Good luck finding homes for your baby ducks that are now think they're chickens.
You got to wonder. People actually write these things. Brenda Nellman's? Paint horse for sale, $1,200. 4-year-old overall paint. What's an overall paint? Is that a kind of paint horse? Overall?
No, it's not.
It sounds like a kind of cookie. It does sound like a kind of cookie, overall. Paint about 15, 3 hands. Sound and very athletic. Good ground manners. Yellow-green broke to saddle and bozzle. Is yellow a degree of breaking that I missed the memo?
I have never heard that before, ever. Yellow, green, broke.
Is that like before green, there's a yellow, and then there's red? Like, maybe it's off the traffic light. It's like red, yellow, green. I've never heard that
So does
before.
That mean he's more broke or less broke? I'm confused.
I couldn't figure it out either, so... Maybe Cheryl, who put this ad up, could let us know what a yellow broke horse is.
Thank you so much. The next one comes from Rachel Rosenthal. And, Rachel, we do appreciate you sending it in. This is a 3-year-old mare, reduced price, a whopping $400. Duchess is a 3-year-old bay mare, about $13,500. None of her that would be $14,100. Okay. Pay attention. Duchess.
Every week we have one of those.
I don't understand how difficult it is to figure out. It's just counting to 4. Like 1, 2, 3, and then 4 would be the next number. It's not that hard.
Every week.
None of her previous owners know her breed. She may have a little Arab in her. I started her last year, but I have not had time to finish her. I have ridden her many times, and she has never offered to buck or rear. She ties, bathes, saddles, stands for farrier. Her only real vice is that she picked up cribbing from my gelding. On May 18th, her feet were trimmed. June 12th, she received her 6-way, and teeth were floated. She would be best at home with other horses around. This is where she really sells the horse. She would need to have her own pen and shelter, as she is very food aggressive. She needs a home that can afford to have her teeth floated every 6 months. It is very important. She needs a home that will not just let her rot in the pasture, kind of like you've been doing. Please only reply if you can offer her one of these things and a great home, $400, I will insist to see her new home. Trainers, please do not contact me offering to finish her. If you would like to take a look at her, I'll be more than happy to blah, 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 blah. So, you guys, for the whopping price of $400, you could have a cribbing, aggressive, you know, unbroke mare. So, enjoy that. She's 13.5, though. She is something special.
I love how that everybody that tries to sell does these sentences, and I think we have a couple more of these. She would be best at home with other horses around, but you can't put her in with the other horses. That's not
exactly.
No, she's not allowed to go out with them. She just needs them around. This is from R. Mitchell, who I think is a new submitter. We appreciate that, R. 14-year-old broke gelding, $750. Bruce's owners are going through a divorce and can no longer feed him. I've taken over feeding him, but need a place to place him in a new home as soon as possible. Bruce is broke to ride. Bruce rides with a saddle or bareback.
Time out.
Yeah?
You have to let every single person know that this is a trailing sentence. When it says Bruce's owners are going through a divorce and can no longer feed him, ... I have taken over feeding him, but need to place him in a new home ASAP, ... Every sentence has three periods behind it.
That's true. Not much phases him, but he does like to go, ... I wouldn't put a total beginner on him, as he tends to take advantage if someone can't make him go, ... What exactly does that mean, take advantage if someone can't make him go? Does that mean he turns around and bolts? Does that mean he bucks? Does that mean he just lays down, right? He would make someone a really nice trail gelding or hunting gelding if he's not laying down and bolting. He was used as a sheriff's posse horse.
I didn't know
they still had sheriff's posse. Apparently in a Apache Junction they do.
She's from Arizona. Yeah, I was going to say we have a sheriff's posse here, but she's saying this ad came from Apache Junction. Wow, so she lives in the Phoenix area because, yes, we have a sheriff's posse here. Go ahead.
Okay. He's not a small horse. He's he stands about 15 two hands. He still needs some more weight, but he is gaining it nicely. I will not give this horse away. If you can't pay for him, then you can't feed him. I will work with someone on payment. I know she missed one there. I need to recoup some of my feed bill back on him. I am open to all offers. God, she just need him gone soon. Jennifer made a good point. Jennifer made a good point this morning. She said, you got to wonder about the ad. That 80% of the ad is talking about why they can't keep the horse anymore, and 20% is about the horse. This one is all about why she can't keep the horse anymore. You know, we just can't keep him. Not about why this horse is good for you. We really need to do salesman classes. Yeah. All right, next one is up to you, and we have one every week. Every week we have one. Isn't that one. This is a different one. Go ahead.
Okay, this is, you're getting ahead of yourself. Sarah in Ohio, this gelding is amazing, ... He is sweet and kind and eager to please. He is an off-the-racetrack guy. And let me tell you, he is super fast. He stands 16.5 hands.
That would
be 17.1. And handsome. He is 11 years old. He has great conformation and is ready to go. He stands well for baths, shoes, trims. He will load nicely if you use a crop whip.
You beat him to get in the trailer.
You gotta beat the hell out of him to get the trailer. I would recommend him going to someone who has intermediate advanced riding skills. I started him in show jumping, but I haven't had the time to train him like I wanted to. This guy, and here is the selling point. This thoroughbred that is 17-1 comes with his very own bareback pad, halter, and lead rope. Email me if you're interested. Wow! I wasn't going to get him until I realized I could get my very own bareback pad to ride on a, now mind you, a 17 one-hand racehorse probably has quite the large withers. So bareback sounds fun.
Yeah, at 11 years old. And then the other thing that jumped out at me of this one, if you read between the lines like we're supposed to do with these ads, I started him in show jumping, but I haven't had time to train him like I wanted to, which means she got dumped and gave it up. That's pretty much what that means right there. Yeah,
she did it once. Uh-huh.
Jennifer found this one. Says, now get this. It says, pack goats for 4-H. Selling my pack goat string and have 8 to choose from. The older ones are trained for packing and parades. The younger ones are still learning. I also have saddles for sale. I wonder if they're for the goats. I'm not sure. I didn't know goats, you could pack goats.
I'm sorry, but if I was on a trail ride and I was, no offense to any listeners that have pack goats, but if I was on a trail ride and I was going up like through the Grand Canyon and there was some dude on a horse with like a string of goats carrying his crap, I would totally, I would point and laugh. And I might fall off my horse laughing. Come on, guys.
How much can a pack goat carry?
That one has my bottled water. That one has my sandwich. That one back there has at least, let's see, a loaf of bread and another bottle of water. Good Lord.
All right.
My jacket.
The next one, we got to get through these. We're running out of time. All right, the next one is our picture of the day. It was sent in by Andrea McCullough. We appreciate that, Andrea. It's our picture of the day. Jennifer's going to post it right now. I have an old iron-wheeled wagon with side standards like a log hauler. It does look like a log hauler, actually, and it's old. It's adjustable in length, which is really good to know. It has JD cast into the wheel caps. I guess that's important, JD. The lady I got it from said it may have come from an old prison. And that had joined her family property in Mississippi. So did the old prison join her property in Mississippi? I'm not quite sure if this lady bought a prison or what. But when you look at this, they want $350 for this pile of metal rust that you could probably carry one log before it breaks.
Andrea did say that this person found it at a prison. So, I mean, it's probably a relic. It's a prison relic and good.
There you go.
Well, Glenn,
add it to your collection of prison relics.
Yeah, obviously. Duh. I'm going to skip forward to our runner-up, which is Kathy in Maryland. Gray mare, approximately 9 to 12 years old, supposedly trained in Western pleasure. That means it's unbroke, somewhere between 9 and 12. Good on halter, grooming, bathing, etc. Needs an advanced rider. She can be spooky at times and likes to buck when fresh. Very lovable. You've got a horse that's between 9 and 12, potentially supposedly trained in Western pleasure, but spooked and bucks, but she's very lovable, okay? Very lovable.
She'll give you a big wet one after she bucks you off.
Exactly. She'll lick your face while you're laying on the ground upside down. The next, she goes on to say, apparently she has two horses for sale because Buckskin Gelding, approximately 9 to 12 years old, good on halter. Apparently it's very important because she says he's very lovable and talkative, a character for sure, hates fly spray, likes potato chips.
All right. Let's save Dawn for next week. And it will go right to the winner today. This one is for all the guys.
Oh,
you didn't?
You didn't let me. No, because it says both horses are barefoot. The buckskin is shorter. Somewhere, people, measuring tapes are like a dollar. Somewhere between 13 and 14 hands. The mare is somewhere between 14 and 16 hands. So can you narrow it down a little bit? Okay, go ahead, the winner.
All right, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. All right, the winner, this is for all the guys in the audience. This is for the My Man Army out there that listens to Horses in the Morning. This winner is for you. This is from Anna in Florida. And, Anna, you are the winner today. For now, listen to this closely, and it's the last. It's the last part of this sentence that you're all going to want to listen to. 4-year-old horse for sale, asking $400 because we sold our property and have no place to keep him at. We'll make sure he goes to a good home. He is saddle tamed and loves his balls.
He loves his balls? Is that what he said?
Apparently loves his balls. Yes, he loves his balls. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He loves his balls.
So does that
maybe
mean
we can get him together with that lady up above who was offering extra services.
Or we could go back to the movie Buck where the lady has 18 stallions in a pasture together and just throw him out there. See how much he loves his balls then. That was for you, Smokey.
He is saddle-tamed and loves his balls. All right, that's for all the guys out there. I just cracked up when I read that one. Thank you to Anna in Florida. We appreciate that. You'll want to send your information, your address and everything to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com so we can get your prizes out to you. We appreciate that. All right.
Our sponsor today, before we get to my critique of your Buck interview, it becomes Buck Day from here on out. Sponsor for today's show is Kentucky Performance Products, and we do thank them for being a part of the show. One thing horse people look for in a supplement is a safe, reliable product that will address the challenges facing their horse. The employees at Kentucky Performance Products couldn't agree more. In fact, they feed KPP supplements to their own horses, of course. Today's highlight product is Endure Extra. Endure Extra is a high-fat, low-carb energy source recommended by veterinarians and leading horsemen to maintain your active horses and to increase weight gain in your poor doers. More than just a fat supplement, Endure Extra also provides much needed natural vitamin E to protect muscles and increase immunity levels. Added gut conditioners stimulate the appetite and maintain a healthy digestive tract. Provide all these benefits to your horse with as little as 8 ounces per day. Learn more about Endure Extra and all their other products at kppusa.com or call 1-800-772-1988. To learn more about horse nutrition and interact with experts at Kentucky Performance Products, just join their Facebook page.
We're going to, last week on Friday, Jamie wasn't here, and Randy so kindly filled in, and I know she's listening this morning because she posted, so thank you, Randy. And what happened, the good stuff always happens when Jamie's gone. What happened is... We were supposed to have Cindy Meal, who was the producer of the Buck movie, on with us. Well, she was stuck on a train. Jennifer went through hoops behind the scenes to try and get somebody from the movie on. And they finally said, well, will Buck do? And we said, yes, Buck will do. So Buck actually called in, and out of nowhere, we had an interview with Buck. And I was caught off guard. I didn't have time to prepare for this. It just sort of happened that way. We had about 10 minutes to talk to him. And Jamie has not heard this interview. She said she can sometimes be a little critical of my interview abilities. So she wanted to do some constructive criticism on my interview of Buck, which, by the way, let me remind you, I was caught off guard for, had no time to prepare. We didn't know that he was going to be on.
Oh, here comes the excuses. The excuses are filtering in already. But I don't get to critique my boss very often, so this is a special moment for me.
All right, let's listen to the interview, about 10 minutes long, and then we'll be back with Jamie's glowing praise of my interview. and it looks like we do have Buck here at last. This is a pleasant and a wonderful surprise, everybody. We were supposed to have Cindy on, and she apparently is stuck on a train. And I would say that Buck's probably never been a backup to a producer, but Buck, I am thrilled to have you on the show. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I don't think that I'll be asking Cindy to back me up at one of my deals.
Probably not a good idea, unless you need it filmed, of course. Hey, Buck, my wife and I went to see the movie last week here in Lexington, Kentucky. Of course, horse capital of the world, right? And
absolutely.
I got to tell you, it was nothing like I expected it to be, but it was so much more. It turned out to be, I got goosebumps just sitting here talking to you about this. It was an unbelievably terrific movie, whether you're a horse person or not. And congratulations, what a good ride!
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. But thank you for sharing what you've been doing with the rest of the horse world.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You know, Buck, I got to tell you, were you happy with the final result? And I know, you know, that's tough to ask you to be honest about that, but a lot of people that they do movies about them, at the end they go, it wasn't anything like I thought it would be, and they're disappointed.
No, you know, I was real happy with it. But going into it, I already had a relationship with Cindy. We were friends, and so we'd gotten to know each other enough that I knew that she wouldn't disappoint me, and she would be the best one out there to be able to tell the story. And interestingly enough, even though she had never directed a film before, what I found was really interesting was, is most of the time you have a filmmaker that then searches for a project, something compelling to tell. And she already had the compelling story that she wanted to tell, and it turned her into a filmmaker. And I think maybe because of that is really why she did such a great job. I was really pleased.
And you, one of the things that I was pleasantly surprised with in the movie was how your family came into it, your daughter. That's a part that I had never heard about before. And how much she is emulating you at this point and really may become, another Buck here in another 10, 20 years.
Well, you know, what's really neat as a parent is that yes, she's emulated me because we like the same things. She loves to ride and loves to rope and loves the livestock. But at the same rate, she is very much her own person. She's got her own identity. And the older she gets, the more she really is her own person. And that is just really cool, because just being a mini me probably wouldn't be the best thing for my daughter, to be honest with you.
She is a heck of a rider, too.
She's handy, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet she's a heck of a person, too.
She is. She's really, I'm so proud of her. She's really a good girl.
I thought that Cindy did a great job, too, and I don't want to give away anything. As a matter of fact, Buck, we're getting Facebook messages like crazy right now. I'm going to see Buck the next Tuesday. It's so good to hear him. And people, we have a lot of Canadian listeners who are asking if it's going to be released in Canada. Do you know?
You know, I don't know, but I've been getting some calls, too, because I do a handful of clinics in Canada. I don't do very many up there just because I'm so busy here in the States, but I can't imagine that it won't be released in Canada as you know, that's a big horse country too. So,
but at the same rate,
you know, as you said, it doesn't have to just be horse people that it appeals to, and that's what I'm so pleased about that Cindy did. That it's, we always wanted it to be something that had an appeal and touched the hearts of people that weren't necessarily horse people.
Right.
I gotta tell you too. There was, and I'm trying not to give away too much for those that haven't seen it yet. But I'll talk cryptically about this, and when they see it, they'll understand what I mean. There was the one part in the movie that literally had us jump out of our seats. By the way,
yeah,
the whole audience screamed and jumped, and you know what part I'm talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How that ended up, I was so happy that it didn't get what I call Disney-fied. That it didn't end. You didn't change the outcome, or the producer of the movie actually didn't change the outcome to make it everybody lived happily ever after, because that doesn't always happen.
Well, and really and truly, we labored with that, and again, I'll try not to ruin it for everybody too, because I hate it when someone tells me what happens in a movie, but there was a bigger message in that I am so pleased that whether it's in New York City or Sheridan, Wyoming, that the audience got the point to it. They got the bigger message that was intended in that. And
what would you say your biggest message was in this movie, Buck?
Basically to me, there was two major points to me, and that is whether you're going to have horses or dogs or children, with that comes a great responsibility. And it's not just in keeping them fed and a roof over their head. It's to teach them, to help them learn how to get along in the world, and to do your part when you have an opportunity to affect the rest of something or someone's life. And people really did get that. And through part of the story, they will see that that just as easily could have been me.
Well, and it really, those 2 points really came across. I mean, this was one of those movies, Buck, that when you leave it, you know, you've seen okay movies, but this was one of those movies that you talk about for a long time after. And in my opinion, that's what makes for a great movie.
Well, it's, you know, there's been a lot of my friends have called me and said, a bunch of us got together, went to the film, and now we've all seen it 3 or 4 times. And that's what you hope for, that it's a profound enough message in it, that it's entertaining and thought-provoking and emotional in a good way. You know, when people would leave the theater and they would leave the theater crying, they were not crying because they were sad. They were crying because they were moved. And those kind of emotions never hurt anybody.
That is so beautifully said, the way you say what you're saying, Buck. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
You know, I have a couple silly questions for you because we are a morning show and we deal with silly. The coffee in the morning, you really do still make it in the old pot?
Yeah, I do. You know, when I'm... excuse me. I was just choking on some coffee there as you spoke.
I'm picturing black as black could be.
Actually, when I first met Mary, my wife, I was, she probably thinks a bit of a caveman because I would drink any kind of coffee from any truck stop, from anywhere, as long as it was the right color. And I have to admit, she's turned me into a coffee snob. You know, I get up and make my little pot of Starbucks coffee every morning.
Gone over to the dark side.
Yeah. I had to meet her in the middle. You know, she was raised in Boulder, Colorado, which is, you know, kind of the Berkeley of the Rocky Mountains. So,
right.
You know, they all have to have their little Gucci cup of coffee there. I'll be darned if she didn't turn me over, and now I'm kind of a coffee snob, too.
I didn't see any scenes in that movie of you driving into a Starbucks to get an espresso latte with vanilla cream.
No, I don't do all that. I don't do that tutti frutti coffee.
I like the tutti frutti.
I figured.
Yeah, what can I say?
I know we're running out of time here. What have you taken away now since the movie? First of all, my second silly question is, are you the next Clint Eastwood now you're going to Hollywood or what?
Well, no, I don't really. For me, I'm not delusional about this at all. I know that this will, you know, it'll be very exciting for a while, and then everybody will move on, and I'll be back to being me driving down the road with my truck and horse trailer and doing what
I've
always done.
And your really cool hat. You've really got a nice hat. I like that hat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. In the future, I'm actually going to do, I wrote a book called The Faraway Horses. It's been out for a while. And it's more of an in-depth story of my life, and which is you can do that in a book form. And
right.
The goal all along has been to do a feature film that really centers on my brother and I and our family when we were young and kind of growing up and what really got me to where I am today, a lot of the life experiences, and some of them are, of course, quite dark. And I wrote this book with the intent of it being a book of hope, that it's not necessarily a guarantee that your life is going to turn out poorly just because you maybe had a dark beginning. And so I will end up doing a feature film. In fact, we may be signing a deal today. Interesting.
Well, congratulations with that.
Yeah.
You know, we actually had Smokey on the show a couple months ago. He's been on the show before, and he just reminded me too of the old Cowboys Cowboy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Well, thank you, Buck. We really appreciate you being here. Congratulations,
yes.
And what a terrific movie. I wish, you know, we're definitely still going to get Cindy on because I have to congratulate her, too. It was just well done.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to both of you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye, Buck.
you hear my applause?
Yes, we can hear your applause.
That was really good. That was really good. Okay, I got to do my critique. First of all,
I'm ready.
I thought that the interview was actually, you did a great job.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Jennifer, did we pay her yet this week?
Yeah,
just checking.
Yeah, I still haven't got my check.
Okay.
Right. You started, you always want to begin an interview, whether, you know, whoever you're talking to. And when you're doing an interview and you're going to ask tough questions or you're going to kind of get into the meat of stuff, you want to always start out by warming them up a little bit with some praise and some compliments. And in this case, it is incredibly heartfelt because the guy's amazing. And you did that. You started out with praise. You didn't ask any yes-no questions at all. So you actually asked leading questions where you led him into talking, and you got that guy. That quiet cowboy just talked the entire time. That was really impressive. So,
okay, I'm waiting for the but.
No, and then I've got some points. First of all, where he said, she's handy, talking about his daughter, and he said, she's a really good rider, and he's like, she's handy. That is like the ultimate compliment from a cowboy. So, I mean, that gets high marks because you got cowboy talk. I actually laughed out loud twice with the whole thing when he was choking on coffee and the whole he doesn't drink that tutti frutti stuff. I thought that was funny. And then I thought, you know what? I said, Buck's gone Hollywood. He's drinking Starbucks. And seriously, out of your mouth, the next thing was, so now you're all Hollywood, huh? And you're going to do this? Are you kidding me? You did. We've been working together for too long. We spend too much time together because we're thinking the exact same way now. And then you ask about his follow-up, like what's coming up next. Then talked about the book, and there's a big book deal coming in, and I think that's awesome. So that book may be another film, which means we might have another Buck movie, which would just make all the horse people in the world happy, and you did a great job. I have no buts. I thought it was fantastic.
Wow. I honestly was waiting for the butt the whole time. Thank you very much. You know, after doing shows for 3 years now and 1,200 episodes, I'm finally learning this thing.
It's
taken me
3 years. No, but it was like, it literally was like you had it prepared. Because like when I'm doing a big interview like that, I like to have an outline of the way that I want to, you know, approach things. And, yeah, it's not just always a conversation. We like it to sound like that, but it always does have a little bit of prep added to it where I like to have an outline and kind of know where I'm going to go. Obviously, you want to listen, and if it goes off another way, then you follow that. However, you went right through a perfect outline. You talked about what he talked about when he hit on some certain different points, and I have no complaints, believe it or not.
Well, okay, well, now, thank you very much. Thank you very much, by the way. I appreciate that. And now it's time for your reading of Black Beauty. Do I get the critique at the end?
You know, I think you've been pretty darn critical for the last 22 chapters. So I would expect no different for chapter 23.
All right, let's
so suck it.
let's get to your reading of Black Beauty, which today is sponsored by Tuckett Stable. How do you keep track of your horse's information, like farrier visits and shots? Do you have a full box of receipts at home, and then you just try and find the last one, and then you can't find it because it's in your glove compartment or it's underneath the seat of your car, been trampled to death, and, you know, it's down there with the old Coke bottles and stuff? That's how you keep track of when you had your farrier last or when your shots need done. Then you need a new way, and it's an easy way, and that way is on your iPhone. You just go to your iPhone app store and you look up Pocket Stable. You pay $3.99, which is the same price as one of Buck's fancy tutti frutti cups of coffee. And then you're going to have it forever to keep track of all of your horse's information, from vaccines to wormings to farrier and dentist visits, and even the weight of your horse, right there in your iPhone. Search for it in the app store or go to pocketstable.com. And I got an email from her, by the way, today, Jamie. And the upside-down horse at the beginning of the Pocket Stable thing, they cannot figure out. They think it's some kind of Apple quirk, and you're just going to have to put up with the upside-down horse at the beginning. It doesn't hurt anything. It's just going to be upside-down for a while, apparently. So.
It was weird. It didn't start out upside down. But you mentioned where you usually keep your receipts for your horse stuff. And what inevitably happens to my receipts and my paychecks and checks that my students give me, and if they give me cash, is it goes in the jean pocket and it either blows out or I wash it. I think every one of my students I've gone, hey, can you give me another check? I kind of put it in the laundry. And the bank doesn't cash those.
Jennifer's been meaning to speak to you about the checks that haven't been cashed yet. Maybe you two want to talk.
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Are you ready? You geared up?
I'm ready.
You fired up? All right.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Now, I'm well aware that we have Smokey Brannaman listening today because he has posted on our Facebook page that he's actually listening. So this chapter is dedicated to him because he hates this book and apparently thinks I shouldn't be reading it. So here you go, Smokey.
I agree with you, Smokey. I'm there with you, boy.
All right, enough. Chapter 23, A Strike for Liberty. One day my lady came down later than usual and the silk rustled more than ever. "Drive to the Duchess of B's," she said, and then after a pause, "Are you never going to get those horses' heads up, York? Raise them at once and let us have no more of this humoring and nonsense." York came to me first whilst the groom stood at Ginger's head. He drew my head back and fixed the reins so tight that it was almost intolerable, and then he went to Ginger, who was impatiently jerking her head up and down against the bit, as was her way now. She had a good idea of what was coming, and at the moment York took the rein off the terret in order to shorten it, she took her opportunity and reared up so suddenly that York had his nose roughly hit, his hack knocked off, and the groom was nearly thrown off his legs. At once they both flew to her head, but she was a match for them and went on plunging, rearing, and kicking in the most desperate manner. At last she kicked right over the carriage pole and fell down after giving me a severe blow on my near quarter. There is no knowing what further mischief might she have done had not York promptly sat himself down on the flat of her head to prevent her struggling, and at the same time calling out, "Unbuckle the black horse, run for the wench, and unscrew the carriage pole, cut the trace here, somebody, if you can't unhitch it, do it." One of the footmen ran for the wench, another brought a knife from the house, and the groom soon set me free from Ginger in the carriage and led me to my box. He just turned me in as I was about to run back, and ran back to York. I was much excited about what happened, and if I had ever been used to kick or rear, I am sure that I should have done it then. But I never had, and there I stood, angry and sore in my leg, my head still strained up to the terret on the saddle, and no power to get it down. I was very miserable and felt much inclined to kick the first person who came near me. Before long, however, Ginger was led in by two grooms a good deal. York came with her and gave his orders, and then came to look at me. In a moment, he let down my head. "Confound these bearing reins," he said to himself. "I thought we should have some mischief soon. Master will be sorely vexed, but there, if a woman's husband can't rule her, of course a servant can't, so I wash my hands of it, and if she can't get to the Duchess's garden party, I can't help it." York did not say this before the men. He always spoke respectfully when they were by. Now he felt me all over and soon found the place above my hock where I had been kicked. It was swelled and painful, and he ordered it to be sponged with water, and then some lotion was put on. Lord W. was much put out when he learned what had happened. He blamed York for giving wage to his mistress, which he replied in the future that he would much prefer to receive his orders only from his lordship, but I think nothing came of it, for things went on the same as before. I thought York might have stood up better for his horses, but perhaps I am no judge. Ginger was never put into the carriage again, but when she was well of her bruises, one of Lord W.'s younger sons said he would like to have her, as he was sure she would make a good hunter. As for me, I was obliged still to go in the carriage and had a fresh partner called Max. He always had been used to the tight rein, and I asked him how it was he bore it. "Well," he said, "I bear it because I must, but it is shortening my life, and it will shorten yours too, if you have to stick to it. Do you think," I said, "that our masters know how bad this is for us?" "I can't say," he replied, "but the dealers and the horse doctors know it very well. I was at a dealer's once who was training me and another horse to go as a pair, and he was getting our heads up," he said, "a little higher and a little higher every day. A gentleman who was there asked him why he did so. 'Because," said he, "people won't buy them unless we do. The London people always want their horses to carry their heads high and to step high. Of course, it is very bad for the horses, but then it's good for trade." The horses soon wear up or get diseased, and they come in for another pair. That, said Max, is what I heard in my heart, and you can judge for yourself. What I suffered with that rein for 4 long months in my lady's carriage would be hard to describe, but I am quite sure that had it lasted much longer, either my health or my temper would have given way. Before that, I never knew what it was to foam at the mouth, and now the action of that sharp bit on my tongue and jaw and the constrained position of my head and throat always caused me to froth at the mouth more or less. Some people think it's very fine to see this and say, what fine-spirited creatures. But it is just as unnatural for horses as for men to foam at the mouth, and it is a sure sign of discomfort and should be attended to. Besides this, there was a pressure on my windpipe which also made my breathing hard and uncomfortable, and when I returned from my work, my neck and chest were strained and painful, my mouth and tongue tender, and I felt worn and depressed. In my old home, I always knew that John and my master were my friends, but here, although in many ways I was well-treated, I had no friend. York might have known and very likely did know that the rain harassed me, but I suppose he took it as a matter of course and could not be helped. At any rate, nothing was done to relieve me. And up tomorrow, or Monday, Chapter 24, The Lady Anne. Oh, yeah. Bearing reins are bad. Bearing reins are bad.
Anything, a gun is bad, isn't bad unless it's, you know, used to shoot somebody unintentionally. So, you know, it's all in how things are used, and it's you know, it's all the humans that do it. Bearing
of
reins
course.
Are not in themselves bad.
Okay, bearing rein user.
Mine are very loose, very loose. Actually, we didn't use one when I did my lesson.
Hey, do
all
you
right.
have our guest on, or should I talk about what's really bad with the whole Cheryl Crow thing?
Actually, no, let's not talk about that. I just don't want to talk about it. But we will say that word is, and we need to, and I think our guest is calling in right now, so we should have her on shortly. And, of course, that's the producer of the movie Buck. We're going to be speaking with her. But we should mention that it is said that Buck is to screen around New Zealand here shortly. So it looks like New Zealand will be getting, and we'll ask the Canada question again because our Canada listeners keep asking if Buck's coming to Canada. So we'll have to ask that one, find out about that. Let me see what else. I would like you to fill me in on the Animal Kingdom deal. Did he have his surgery?
Oh, yeah, Animal Kingdom. Let me get to that story for you here. Animal Kingdom had, of course, that hairline slab fracture and had a successful surgery. Of course, Animal Kingdom being the Kentucky Derby winner of this year, had a successful surgery to repair the slab fracture. Now, of course, he got this when Mucho Macho Man bumped into him at the start of the Belmont. And, of course, that was because Mucho Macho Man was bumped as well. So it was like this chain reaction. There's a little bit of drama involved in it and people pointing fingers. Was it done on purpose? Blah, blah, blah. However, the leg is going to heal. It would have healed on its own, they said, but by using screws, they've made a more reliable, consistent time schedule for healing. And they say they've also given the horse his best chance to minimize any arthritis that might occur in the leg had they just let nature do its job. He's going to be in stall rest for 2 weeks, and then he's going to become walking for 2 weeks, and then water treadmill for 30 days, and they expect him to return to training in 90 days. I think that's fantastic. To have a fracture and then all of a sudden be back to work in 90 days, I think that's great.
Yeah, that is terrific. Well, it's good news.
And,
good news on a Friday.
Yeah. And they're minimizing his future arthritis, which I really appreciate as well.
Yes, and, you know, getting to that age where arthritis is going to be a problem, I appreciate they're doing that for him too.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our guest who I've been excited about. We were supposed to have her on last week, but she was busy on a train and couldn't get through to us, and that's why Buck ended up filling in for her. She founded Cedar Creek Productions, which is the film company that actually put the movie together, and I believe it was founded for that purpose. But she actually comes from the world of fashion and art, which is something we talked about yesterday, what not to wear. So let's get Cindy Neal on the line here. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you so much for for agreeing to put up with us and come back this week and get you actually on the phone here.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry I couldn't make it last week. It was just...
It was awful to have to speak to Buck instead.
I know. I guess if a pinch hits for me, that's okay. You know.
Yeah. Not a bad pinch hitter there, Cindy.
Not a bad one. Exactly.
Let me talk to you a little bit about... You were a clothing designer. You worked in the fashion industry. And what the heck... First of all, you know, I did kind of odd things before I started the Horse Radio Network, but there is no way in heck that I think I could go from what I did to knowing a darn thing about putting a movie together with everything that's involved in that. What made you think you could even do it?
Well, I have to say my fashion design days were way back in the 80s, so it's been a while since I did that. After I left that, then I went and had kids and I was doing my art. I've done art since I was a child, so you know, I've always been involved in fine art education and such. So I've always had a creative background. So I probably naively thought this is just another creative outlet. I mean, to me it was very visual. I knew a lot about movies but I hadn't really taken classes about filmmaking and I just thought, well, this is something I need to create. I was very driven really by the subject and by how powerful and what a profound effect it had had on my life. And so I just didn't see how it could fail. If I could convey Buck and what he does and how he influences people, then I thought, well, that's just a no-brainer, you know. Everyone would love that, right?
It
was a lot harder than I thought.
Apparently they are loving it. How do you know Buck? How did you know Buck from before?
I knew him because I had a horse that I took to one of his clinics, and a friend of mine who had actually sort of taught me about this type of horsemanship had kept saying, you have to go see Buck. He's the master of this style of riding. And so when I went to see him, my friend was very right. He was just an amazing person, an amazing horseman, and so much of the things that he taught me transcended way beyond my horse, and I was trying to tell people about it on the East Coast. You know, he's mostly on the West Coast, in the West generally, and no one seemed to want to listen, so I figured, well, I'm just going to put him on screen and maybe then people will listen, and I think that's working. You know, it seems like people on the East Coast are going as much as in the West.
Oh, I agree, and I'm sure you've already heard that we just, you know, our review was, we have the flake system, and a bale of hay is 5 flakes, and we gave it 5 flakes. It was,
really?
We absolutely love this movie. Jamie saw it earlier in the week, so we've both seen it, and we don't want to give too much away about the movie, but I do have a question for you that I'm a little confused about. Mm-hmm. I understand when you do a regular movie, you have a script, you know what's going to happen, it's written the whole way through, you know the beginning, middle, and end. But when you do a documentary, you're going out there, I assume, and doing a ton of footage and then putting it all together later. How do you know you're going to end up with anything, let alone the middle that you had with the drama and the thing that scared everybody right out of their seats?
Yeah.
you don't know you're going to get that when you start.
Right, right. Well, you know, with horses, there's always something interesting happening. And so I knew that to go to his clinics, because it's always different people, it's different horses. He never does the same clinic twice as far as what he says. He adapts it to the group. And to me, I could sit there and listen to him at every clinic, whether I had a horse in there or not. It's just, he's so fascinating. He's funny. He's strict. You know, he has so many things that he offers you. So I thought, if I just went and filmed him, and we had 300 hours of footage, I thought that certainly things would evolve. And then it takes a really good editor. The editor really becomes your storyteller. And we worked closely together on what this was about, why he was important, especially from the horse viewpoint. And then Toby Shimon was this amazing woman that had the passion for the project, and she just loved everything about Buck. And so she was able to create that rhythm that you see throughout the film. And the horse that creates the extreme drama toward the end of the film, that was just something that we were in the right place at the right time. There was only one cameraman on that shoot, Guy Mossman, and he captured that. And there were so many things that happened throughout this entire process that you could say were luck or just, you know, God's grace. I don't know, but it was, you could tell this film was meant to be, because just so many things did fall into place for it.
And I'm sure when you got that shot, you guys were all, like, concerned about the guy, but secretly going, yes, we got it, we got it.
Well, you know, honestly, when I saw that happen, I just thought I wouldn't even use it, because I thought this never happens, and I didn't want people to be afraid of horses, and I didn't want people to think that's what happens at all Buck's clinics. So, honestly, at first, it was so disturbing, I thought, I won't use this. And then as we were editing, we realized that it was really an important message for people to see and understand. And I think where we placed it, you understand what it means and what Buck is doing at that point. I don't think you would have gotten it at all if we had put that scene early in the film.
I definitely agree with you that was kind of the part that drove home his message when he's sitting on the horse, you know, afterwards talking to the clinicians, or the people in the clinic, and they say, you know, what happened? And he's able to impart his message to all the people at the clinic, but to everybody watching in the theaters or watching at home. I think it was very important that you put that in there, and I'm really glad that you did. Now, what was it like going to Robert Redford and saying, hey, I'm going to do a movie about kind of like a movie that you did, but we're going to do like the other movie, and will you be in it?
Right.
How did you do that?
Well, it started with a phone call, and it was amazing to me because, you know, somebody had given me his assistant's number, and Donna Kale is just this wonderful lady, and she asked him, and he loves Buck so much, he said he would do it, and he doesn't do a lot of interviews, so that was another really wonderful thing that happened in this film. And so I was almost panicked, of course, because here again, this is the first time for me for everything in this film. So I'm thinking, okay, here I am. I'm a nobody director right now, and Robert Redford is allowing me to come and interview him, which was really gracious on his part. It took a year going back and forth with phone calls with his office and my office trying to get the date, because he's really busy, and I was actually busy, too, making the film. So I finally went out to California to his house where we filmed that. It was in his office at his house in the Napa Valley, and he was just great. He was very gracious. He's so smart and so talented and so articulate. It was a real joy to get to meet him and do that. But he loves Buck. You know, he's a real Buck fan himself, so that's why he did it.
Was he what you expected? Because sometimes you meet celebrities and you're disappointed. You go, oh, God, he was a real jerk. So,
oh no,
you know,
yeah.
he was more.
Oh yeah, he was.
Really?
He was even more than I expected. And I over prepared. I mean, that's how I made up for my lack of knowledge. I would over prepare for every interview, and I watched every movie he had ever done, every interview I could get my hands on. So I knew going in that he was a really smart guy, and he did not disappoint. Very gracious and just brilliant. I mean, he's really very intelligent. It just the way he's poetic in the way he speaks. And we had a great interview. He was amazing.
So I was going to ask if you were the one sitting there asking the questions, but apparently you were. Now, when you watch the finished product of this movie, first of all, to back up, I have to tell you, just congratulations. You did an awesome job. You are one awesome woman. You know, I'd like to have you on for our Woman's Hope series, because you're a little bit inspiring the way that you've kind of created you just created a movie that's in major theaters that have Robert Redford and Buck in it. And it's fantastic, and it's moving, and it's emotional, and it's inspiring. So, first of all, congratulations on that. When you sat down at the end and you watched the film, what was your first thought? Like, it's over, or it's awesome, or thank God I finished, or what was your first initial thought?
You know, the editing process took about 8 months. So I watched a million versions of this film, because we would actually, trying to get 300 hours into 88 minutes, we would literally look at four versions of a scene, and we would start to, you know, we would eliminate a version, and we would start to combine versions and shave seconds here and there. I mean, it got down to shaving seconds, and you would just be heartbroken over losing a scene or a statement or some person that you really loved, and they said something amazing, and you know, Buckisms, we call them Buckisms, all the things Buck says, and to have to lose those, it would be heartbreaking. But it would, you know, you had to keep, it was like for the sake of the team, you know, it was you had to go for the big picture. You couldn't, you know, just throw a bunch of little things in there that wouldn't really keep this flow. And that's where this team of women that I had together was, they were very wonderful about weighing in. No one had an ego about it. We all just weighed in on every little piece of the film. So by the time it was all said and done, I felt like I had seen a million versions of it, and I was satisfied. We thought this is as tight as we can possibly get this film, and I was content. It's kind of like you're just wrung out too, though. You've been mm-hmm. through the mill to try to get it to that point, and then you've seen it so many times, you also have that little bit of, okay, is everyone else going to understand it now? Are they going to get it?
Yeah, you start having that doubt. You start having that doubt that what you've seen, because you're so into it, you're so, you know, in the moment, that somebody else is going to see it. I imagine when you started going to the film festivals, that's when it all came to light that this was actually going to work. Are we going to see some of those deleted scenes in the DVD cut when it comes out?
Yeah, actually, we have just completed, you know, putting in the DVD extras. We got that to Sundance Selects, and the DVD is coming out in the fall, but we are really encouraging people to see it on a big screen, because that is, it's a very cinematic movie. So go see it on the big screen and then buy it, you know, for the holidays.
We agree. See it on the big screen. It's definitely worth seeing there. And speaking of the big screen, we have a lot of Canadian listeners who are very upset that they didn't get it yet. Are they going to get it anytime soon?
I have seen emails coming through that say they are very close to finalizing a deal with Canada. And I can't give you any dates or anything because I haven't been following it, but we get a lot of emails from Canada too. So tell them not to despair. I do think it's going to come there. We were at the Toronto Film Festival, or at the Hot Docs Film Festival up in Toronto.
And we did see that at the New Zealand announcement that it looks like it's going to be hitting New Zealand, so that's kind of cool. We have a lot of listeners down there, too, so that's good news for them.
And yeah, in January, I think.
Yeah. Now, Buck may have let the cat out of the bag a little bit last week in his excitement, or I tricked him into it. I'm not sure which. But, you know, he was talking about another movie. Is there going to be another movie for Cedar Creek Productions?
Well, I think, not with us, but he has his book, Faraway Horses, which is a great book, and I believe he is working on a movie deal, which is a narrative film, not a documentary film, on the book.
Okay.
So I think that might be it won't be coming out. I doubt it would come out this year, but I think the deal is probably going to be made this year. But I'm not sure. How about you?
What's next for Cedar Creek? We have two talk show hosts you could do a movie on, except it'd be kind of boring with us just sitting at our mics all day.
Oh, I don't know. I think we can spin that into something pretty interesting.
Jamie.
The drama.
Maybe we can get an attack scene or something. I don't know. Now, we're working on the DVDs of an educational DVD for horse people from the same footage, which I think is going to be really interesting for people who have horses. It'll be like you if you went to one of his clinics, because I know a lot of people, including me, you know, he doesn't really come to Connecticut or anywhere very close to Connecticut, so a lot of people can't get his clinics very easily. So I have such wonderful footage, I thought, you know, why not use some of it and let people see what a clinic's really about. And so we're cutting that right now, or trying to. I don't have a lot of time these days because I'm promoting this film, but it's going to get done.
All right, good. Well, congratulations. You it was a terrific film. You should be very, very proud. We saw it here in the horse capital of the world in Lexington, Kentucky, and everybody cheered at the end, and that's the first movie I've seen in years where there was even any clapping at the end. And you know, one of the things I told Buck, when we walked out of the movie, I looked at my wife and I said, this movie was not about horses. It really wasn't about horses, it was about people. And you go in expecting to see a movie about horses, and you come out talking about the people. And that's right. What this horse industry is. It's what the Horse Radio Network deals with every day. We can't talk to the horses. We talk to the people. And that's what really makes the horse world so unique and so much fun and so exciting. And you did that very well.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because that's very true. You know, a lot of people that are not horse people at all come out saying, I didn't think this would be interesting to me because I'm not into horses, and I can't believe it. You know, I'm going back tomorrow type thing. So, yeah, we do. We hear that quite a bit, and thank you for saying that.
Well, it's true.
All right, when does it come out on DVD? We got to know so we can plan ahead.
It's coming out in the fall. I think it'll be, you know, I'm sure before Thanksgiving. It may be late, maybe sometime in October.
Okay.
It'll be right. by that time it'll probably be out of theaters. But yeah, so I'm thinking around October.
It'll be available for Christmas then, right? Available for gifts.
Absolutely. Great
okay.
stocking
Good.
Stuffer.
Good. Well, Cindy, you deserve it. Congratulations, and we hope to talk to you again maybe when the DVD comes out.
Well, that would be wonderful. Call me anytime or I'll call you. Okay.
Hey, hang on to Jennifer, the producer, has something she wants to chat with you about real quick, so I'm just going to put
okay.
you on hold.
All right,
okay,
great.
Thanks so much. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, that
she's
was
awesome.
Fun. Yeah, she should be on your Inspirational People series. Look at all the neat things she's done in life, and then to think that you can just start a movie company and have a movie that's been this successful.
I think it's fantastic. I think she's definitely an inspiration. And what I really wanted to talk to her about, which we'll have to talk to her about next time, is she was a fashion designer in the 80s. Okay, what kind of 80s fashion? Because I have got to see some pictures. Because the 80s were definitely unique in their fashion. so it said that she actually designed like really fancy couture dresses and all that kind of stuff. And I want to see pictures, because I'm thinking like the Fashion and Pretty Woman, you know, where that lady is at the polo match and she's got that ruffled taffeta purple dress on, you know, I'm like, I've got to see it. I've got to see more.
Cool. All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up. We've had a week and it's Friday, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready to be done and start to getting to weekend things. What's on your agenda? Anything fun? You get to see your husband on Saturday, Sunday.
Well, yeah, that's going to be Sunday. But before that, can I tell about our next inspirational series?
Do you want to?
Well, it's confirmed for today. So.
Okay.
100% confirmed. Now, of course, anything can happen, of course, when you're dealing with awesome people. But we are going to talk to, and I'm telling this because if you have any questions, I want you to email me in the next hour or so, because in two hours, I'm going to sit down and do an interview with Madeline Pickens. And, of course, Madeline Pickens is like the Mustang woman. And she's involved in it. So if you guys have any questions for Madeline Pickens, you want to talk to her about the Mustangs and saving and her plight, you can always just Google Madeline Pickens and check out her stuff. I'll get her website. But we're going to talk to her today. I'm so excited because she is just an absolute hero of mine. And the woman bought like half of New Mexico to turn Mustangs out on. They hear, yep. This is yours. I want you to be free. She's an amazing woman and an incredible person, and we get to sit down and talk to her. And actually, Helena was also very excited that I was going to interview her. And I said, well, Helena, come with me, you know, be on it with me. So it's going to be a girl fest. It's going to be awesome. And all you boys out there, you can just sit and listen to all us girls chatting. But it's definitely an honor to have Madeline Pickens going to be a part of our show. And she is a definite, I'll just have to tell you more when we air it, probably early next week.
All right, good. So that, congratulations, too. I know you worked very hard. You know, she talked about working on that interview for a year. I think it's been a year you working on this one.
It's been about that, yeah. So it's kind of a big deal to talk to her. And her assistant has just been over backwards to help and has literally fielded a lot of phone calls and emails from me. I'm sure they're sick of me. They're probably like, just do the interview so we can get rid of her. You know, harassment works every now and then, you know. But, yeah, I'm very excited about that. That's going to be coming up next week. So any questions you might have for Madeline Pickens, go ahead and post them on Facebook. Send me an email at jamie@horseradionetwork.com. And, of course, you know, everybody have a good weekend. Spay, neuter, and geld.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. All the shows are coming out. You want to take a listen to the Stable Scoop show today that's just came out this morning. There are some changes coming to the Horse Radio Network, which we'll talk more about here on our show next week. We're just going to be moving some things around, and there's going to be some things coming and going. So you're going to want to take a listen to the Stable Scoop show. We had Jennifer on with us, and we talked about all the changes going on at the Horse Radio Network. That we'll talk some more about that here on this show on Monday. But if you want a preview, listen, go over to stablescoop.com and take a listen to that show. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. We'll be back again next week with more fun in the mornings on Horses in the Morning.